Welcome back to Comment on Press TV, the voice of the voiceless, with me, George Galloway. Now, the West Bank and East Jerusalem, the crisis there in the last 7 days, has at least begun to bring the Palestinian people back together. We have protests on the street. We have demonstrators trying to get to the Al-Aqsa Mosque just to pray. We have the Israeli army ringing the Haram al-Sharif, and the holy sites of Jerusalem are under siege, reminding people that no matter what concessions made by the government in Ramallah, as they call themselves, the Israeli occupation is as bad for them as it is for the people in Gaza. In Nigeria, there's not much sign of people coming together. In fact, there's every sign of them being torn further apart. The acting president of Nigeria, the improbably named Goodluck Jonathan, has sacked the entire cabinet. He is a Christian from the south. He has taken over from Yaradua, the sick Muslim president from the north. And there are all sorts of Christian-Muslim tensions in the country. In the center of Nigeria, this has led to huge levels of bloodshed, the hacking to death, first of Muslim people at the hands of Christian, and then just in the last week or so, the hacking to death of hundreds of women and children of the Christian faith by Muslims from nearby towns and villages. So we're talking about the West Bank, about Palestine, about Jerusalem, and about Nigeria in the second half of the show. So hit the phones, send me an SMS or an email. Let's talk to Abdul from the United Kingdom on Palestine. Abdul, welcome.
Hello, George.
Hello, sir.
I'd just like to mention, you know, the incident where Vice President Joe Biden was humiliated by Israel. I mean, I'm not surprised about it at all. In fact, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd done it to President Obama himself. But one good thing is, as soon as President Obama's bandwagon rolled into town, you know, the Israelis knew that the good old days under, you know, George Bush, the great Zionist, were over. So the killing in Gaza that we had to endure over Christmas 2008 stopped. And President Obama, all that he asked was a 10-month halt, you know, to the settlements. He didn't ask them to stop. But what happened? More than 50 senators traveled to Israel to tell the settlers that we are with you, and not with their own president, who happens to be the first African-American president. I think this is because, apparently in D.C., if you say anything against Israel, your political career is over. So they're all very scared. And, you know, I mean, look at even during the presidential elections, how John McCain was you know, groveling at the feet of Israel.
Well, not just John Wayne, Abdul, but President Obama himself, who had the didn't have the alibi that the previous president had of being an idiot. President Obama knows very well what needs to be done in Palestine, but he simply was abasing himself in front of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee just as badly, more or less, as McCain. But you have put your finger on something very important. I was reading today that one of the problems that Obama has in taking a tough line with the intransigence and the provocation and the insults coming from Tel Aviv and from occupied Jerusalem is the lack of support for a tough line by elected officials in the United States, especially in an election year. It's midterm elections in November, and there's a great deal of reluctance on the part of Democrat and Republican politicians in the United States, even though they must know what needs to be said and done, to actually back the president if he was prepared to do it. But Obama's going to have to face them down. The buck stops with him. He is the president. He is in charge of the foreign policy of the United States, and they can't continue to try and keep a position in the Muslim world whilst writing endless checks and supplying unending supplies of terrible weapons to an Israel which is spitting in the face of the administration in Washington. Let's take an email on the comment wall. Go ahead, please. I want to see your country and your point of view up here. This is from Ankara in Turkey. Jose, George, why Obama is black president but supports anti-Martin Luther King racial separation? Israel is a racist enemy, not a friend of democratic values. It is. Zionism is a racist idea. And the state of Israel is an apartheid state. And it seems incredible to me that any civilized person could support it. But for a variety of reasons, American politicians have to at least claim to support it. Let's see what happens in the next few days, though. I fear you might be writing Obama off just a little too quickly. Let's talk to Fatima in the United Kingdom. Go ahead, Fatima.
Hello, George.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Your effort is most appreciated.
Thank you.
George, Mike, you know, we're all complaining about American relationship to Israel. They're always honest with us that they are friends to the Israelis. But my problem and my frustration goes to the Arab world, where they're the main main buyer of American products. Like recently, when a lady visited them, they all rushed to Egypt and Mecca, forced the Palestine government to do indirect talk. All they can do, all of them, come together and boycott American product and bring them on the table of negotiation and make the Israel come into two-state solution. Because Israel, whether they like it or not, there's no way they can get rid of Palestine. Palestinians are there to stay, and Palestinians they will be their main problem.
And their population is growing and growing.
Yeah, and you know, there's no way. What would they do with the Palestine if they're trying to think they're too smart to people? All I can say to Israel society, if you're just pushing your government to do all these things to hurt Palestine or to grab their land and thinking you'll be forever secured, you will never be secured, and you're just digging a hole for yourself. So all the society can do, we can ignore our government, and all of us, we can force, every country can force their government to make sure that this, you know, Israel...
Well, Fatima, that's a wonderful call, and I strongly agree with it. That's what I've been saying tonight. We can have a view about the United States relationship to Israel, but we can't do all that much about it. But we can do something about our own relationship to Israel and the European Union's relationship to Israel, and the Arabs can do something about their relationship to Israel and the United States. As long as the United States can take whatever it wants at whatever price it wants from the Arabs, whilst at the same time giving unending, bottomless support to Israel and its crimes, why should they change? Now, on Tuesday in Beirut, I will be launching Viva Palestina Arabia. Watch out for it. It's going to be a big show. We intend to export this Viva Palestina movement all around the world. We're in South Africa, we're in the United States, we're in the United Kingdom, we're in Ireland, we're in Malaysia, and on Tuesday we'll be in the Arab world from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf. Will be the catchment area for Viva Palestina Arabia. So watch out for that, and I hope to play a role in that. Let's talk to, is it Blair or Dier in Manchester? Go ahead.
Oh, hello, George.
Hi,
it's
sir.
Blair from Manchester.
Welcome, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just want to give the opinion really in American-Israel relation, what you say, like, we'll see what will happen next few days. I promise you nothing will happen, because what Israel does, everybody can see, is unhuman and against any human being. But what can we do, really? We're just like a hopeless per people around the world, just watching the telly and watching the news. These people, ordinary people, beaten up by Israeli, not as a Jewish, as an Israeli government. But again, it all this war in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in Palestine is always like a chess game to America. America has to have them. They have to keep them, you know, for America to be around the Middle East until all those gas and oil is gone, and suddenly everything will calm down and nothing will happen. You could see in Iraq, you know, I'm Iraqi myself, mate. It went on and on and on, and terrorists and I don't know, all these different names came up in Iraq. They are a leader. And suddenly, they're all of them dead.
Well, why? That's one way of looking at things. It's not the way I look at them. What you paint is a picture of an all-powerful United States of America. But that's just not true, as your own people in Iraq proved. The United States can control the skies, but they cannot control a single street in Iraq. And if the Iraqi people came together and rose up against their occupation, it would be over. Overnight, they would be scrambling onto helicopters like they did in Vietnam. Vietnam is a case in point. They threw And they sacrificed 58,000 dead American soldiers, hundreds of thousands of wounded. They sent millions of soldiers into Vietnam, and they spent uncountable billions in treasure. But they lost. The United States is not winning the war in Afghanistan. It did not win the war in Iraq. And if it were to dare lift a finger against Iran, it will not achieve its ends, its goals there either. So I'm for responding to what they do. I believe in God. I believe on the judgment day, I will have to answer for what I did. Not for what he did, or you did, or anybody else did, but only what I did. Let them do what they want, but let us do what we have to do, should do. Let's talk to Muhammad Ali in Nigeria. Go ahead, Muhammad. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Gallery. How are you?
Very well, sir. What do you think of the cabinet being sacked?
John Gallery, I'm happy to get you in this program. I'm Muslim from northern Nigeria. My tribe is Fulani. Also, my comment about you and about Nigeria.
Please.
Number one, those that are questioning you about your religion, I have answer about them to them today. The answer is that being a Muslim is not a matter. Respect justice as well as how John Galawi been respecting justice. Don't feel John Galawi been supporting you. No, John Galawi supporting justice.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I have been supporting justice. That's why I love Galawi. You love Galawi.
Thank
Everybody
you, Muhammad.
Loves Galawi.
Thank you, Muhammad.
Number two, about northern leaders. Northern leaders are disturbing peace of Nigerians, are disturbing peace of constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. They are talking about northern and Muslim. Also, all Nigeria are suffering from what they are doing to the Nigeria.
Okay, Muhammad, thanks very much. I'm staying in Nigeria. I want to talk to Ame. Please, Ame, welcome to the show. Hello.
Very much.
Welcome. Go ahead. What do you think about what's happening in Nigeria today?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead. What do you think about what's happening today in Nigeria?
Yes, what is happening today in Nigeria is our leaders. Our leaders are the problem that we're having in the country today.
Do you have confidence in good luck, Jonathan?
You said?
Do you have confidence in good luck, Jonathan?
Yes, I have confidence in good luck, Jonathan.
Okay, thanks. It's not a good line. Remember, if you get on the phone to us, turn the television down to zero. Otherwise, we can't hear you. But thanks for the call. Let's go to the comment wall and take another email. We want your country. We want your point of view up here, especially if it disagrees with mine. This one from Washington, USA. Perry. Hi, I know this sounds stupid, but what's the difference between the West Bank and Israel? It's actually not stupid at all, Perry. All of it was Palestine. Some of it was conquered before 1967. The rest of it was conquered in 1967. The Palestine that was prior to the partition resolution and the war which led to the expulsion of 750,000 Palestinians was all the territory between the river and the sea. And I believe it should be again. One state, one democratic state, one man, one woman, one vote, one government, absolute equality, no superiority for any religion, and all Muslims, Christians, and Jews with a right to live there, able to do so. Let's talk to Emeoka from Nigeria. Let's hope it's a better line. Emeoka, welcome. Yes, hello.
Yeah, it's not Emeka. Emeka.
Go ahead, sir. Hello. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Emeka. Actually, what is happening in Nigeria is normal in politics. Advanced politics is concerned. It's normal. But the issue is that Nigerians will have gone to the time that we should grow, mature, be mature enough to coexist. Understand?
Not really.
We're supposed to coexist or appreciate our differences, area of differences, and the areas that we can coexist.
Do you think, Emeka, that Nigeria as a federation can hold together? Or is the country in the process of beginning to break up?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've lost Emeka from Nigeria. We have a lot of problems talking to people in Nigeria. Are you there, Emeka? No, that's a pity. We are talking about Nigeria, the events in central Nigeria around the town of Jos, city of Jos, where there have been massacres over just the last few days, and the remarkable sacking of the entire cabinet by Goodluck Jonathan, the acting president. Now, here's Adil from the United Kingdom on the line. Go ahead, Adil.
Hi, George.
Hi there, go ahead.
Let me salute you before I say anything for all those good and hard work that you have been doing for
unions. Thank you.
The new documents that have been just leaked out suggesting that there has been a cover-up into 9/11 investigation. And now, as far as I remember, that you always rejected that 9/11 was an inside job. So what do you say to that then?
Well, I don't know which document you're referring to, but if it's your point of view that the people who went to the United States from Germany, who were 19 Muslims, 13 of them, I think, Saudi nationals, and learned how to fly airplanes, and boarded those planes and were filmed on CCTV doing so, and who hijacked those planes and flew them into the buildings, if you're suggesting that that never happened, and that the United States actually staged this themselves, that they blew up the Twin Towers themselves, then I simply reject it. It is a fantastical nonsense. And worse than that, it makes the people who continue to profess it just look foolish. It's much simpler. There is a swamp of hatred and bitterness in the Muslim world about and against and as a result of the double standards and the injustice of Western policy towards the East. Out of that swamp has germinated a bin Ladenist mindset of many people, many thousands of people, who are ready to kill themselves in order to kill many others. Now, that's just a fact. I'm afraid bin Laden and bin Ladenism is a fact. Now, who bin Laden is? Who he's really working for? Who knew what about 9/11 before, during, and after may well be the subject of further revelation with the coming months and years. It may well be. But if you're saying to me that the United States blew up thousands of their own citizens and murdered them in cold blood on live television, it's just so ridiculous to me. I find myself soiled even talking about it. I'm sorry. Here's Elias from Brussels. Go ahead, Elias. Elias?
Hello?
Calling Brussels.
Can you hear me?
I can now, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, George. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, sir.
I read today something earlier in the news that apparently the American Civil Liberties Organization has filed a law case against President Obama. They're actually taking him to the federal court. As a politician, I wanted just to know from you, how likely are they to get any result out of this? I mean, will the president go to jail?
As far as I know, Elias, the president of the United States is immune from being taken to court during his presidency.
Okay.
I think only the House and the Senate can impeach the president. No court can take
it. I read on Press TV earlier today, and I saw that...
Well, there may be, and it might be heard after the end of his presidential term. And I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think the President of the United States cannot be brought to court, cannot be prosecuted during his time as President. What's their cause against him anyway?
Okay, all right. I wanted just to...
Elias? What are they complaining of?
Well, apparently, the whole core of the presentation is this, that these predator attacks that are happening in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, etc., who is accountable? Who actually is deciding who's the target?
Well, they are very big crimes, and they are very big crimes, and they're killing a lot of people. And
yes,
the International Criminal Court if the United States had signed up to it, would have been an arena at which a case could have been brought. It's open to people to bring action in the United Nations, and I would urge the government of Pakistan so to do. It's their nationals who are being murdered by these drone attacks. And quite apart from the immorality of incinerating innocent people on the ground in these drone attacks, it is actually fueling a fanatical hatred against the United States and the West in Pakistan, which is endangering the very existence of a democratic Pakistan. So not only is the policy wrong, it is fantastically counterproductive. Thanks very much for that. Here's Anwar in London on the line. Go ahead, Anwar.
George.
Go ahead, sir.
How are you?
Very well. Thanks for ringing.
Okay, George, first of all, I wish you best of luck for Viva Palestina.
Thank you.
And I think you should also start this Viva Palestina in Pakistan as well at the moment, George. I think you'll get a lot of support. That's one thing.
Yes, yes. Pakistanis all over the world are supporting us. In fact, British Pakistanis supported us enormously.
Right. George, the other thing I want to remind the world through you is this. You know, when Iraq was attacked... Hello?
Yes.
George, the American forced a resolution in the in the Security Council to attack. Now we see that the Zionist Israeli government is breaking every international law, human rights law, everything, George. The whole world knows, Europe knows, Asia knows, the West knows. Why don't all the Muslim countries, I agree with you earlier on, you said, why don't all the Muslim countries join together and go to the United Nations and Security Council and pass a resolution and stop this massacre of innocent Palestinians?
Well, even if all the Muslim countries did so, they could not pass a resolution at the Security Council because it would be vetoed by the United States and or Britain. But that shouldn't stop them getting together. You're right. And they are responsible for what they do, not for what the U.S. does, except insofar as they are accomplices to it. Now, the reality is the King of Jordan has recently spoken out against what's happening in Jerusalem. The Egyptian government, in the absence of the president, who's ill in hospital in Austria, I think, have called in the Israeli ambassador and read them a protest. But that's just about the long and the short of it. And that's simply insufficient. As long as the people continue to give, people in the Arab and Muslim world continue to give the United States everything and anything that it wants, continues to support the United States, whilst they are supporting the murder of their compatriots in some cases, their co-religionists in others, well, there's no word, I don't know, on the Judgment Day how they themselves are going to answer that. Now, comment will be on at between 8 and 9 GMT after the 28th because of the new year. Saturday is the new year, and of course, astronomically and scientifically, it is the new year on Saturday. It is the first day of spring. I'll be here next week, but that will be the last of my presentation of comment, or the real deal for that matter, because I'm standing in the British general election and the electoral period begins on the 29th of March. That means that I'm not allowed to appear on the air, quite rightly, because of British electoral law restrictions. So, tune in next week. It'll be your last chance to talk to me and it will be between 8 and 9. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I have. God willing, I'll see you again next week.